Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The Alaska Railroad's hoping to restore service between Anchorage and Fairbanks by tomorrow following a derailment that occurred Tuesday south of Cantwell. The car, which went off the tracks, was carrying 23,000 gallons of fuel, but railroad spokesman Tim Sullivan emphasizes that the train remained intact.
When you talk about a derailment, obviously everybody pictures something where a train has tipped over or something like that. The wheels are just a few inches off of the tracks themselves, and everything is upright, and there are no leaks, and there were no injuries.
Sullivan says the tank car's dragging undercarriage resulted in extensive damage to wooden rail ties.
The truck, which is the equipment underneath the train car, which holds the wheels and the axles, there was a separation there, and the truck itself dropped down onto the ties and was kind of just acting as a bit of a battering ram, hitting the ties as it went along.
Sullivan says the damage spans a two-mile section of track, including on a bridge over the Cantwell River.
It looks like it's in the neighborhood of about 6,000 ties.
Sullivan says the railroad has large caches of new ties and anticipates that the replacement operation will be completed by tonight, allowing a regular freight run to take place Friday and a planned Aurora viewing passenger train to go on Saturday. Sullivan says the cause of the derailment is under investigation, but that an overheated wheel bearing is suspected. More than half of Alaskans questioned in a statewide poll support the payout of $3,700 cut from the past 3 years' permanent fund dividend checks. Pollster Ivan Moore shared results from a December poll of over 900 Alaskans, which shows 53% support the payback, while 37% are opposed and 9% aren't sure. The payback was one of Governor Mike Dunleavy's campaign promises, and he held a press conference yesterday to announce two bills to fulfill it. Alaska Public Media and KTOO report that the governor proposes making the payments over 3 years. Alaskans who received dividends in 2016 and who still live in the state will receive the back payment for 2016 this year. The dividend cut made in 2017 would be paid back next year, and the cut made last year would be paid out in 2021.
We want people to understand that when we campaign on commitments, you have to fulfill those commitments. And when you have laws in place, you should follow those laws. If you don't like the laws, we should change the laws.
The payments would be a little more than $1,000 this year, nearly $1,300 next year, and more than $1,300 in 2021. In total, the payback would cost roughly $2 billion. But spreading it out over 3 years would allow some of the money to remain invested longer. Tying the back payments to the next three PFDs means that people who receive the full back payment will have to live in the state from the beginning of 2015 through the end of 2020. Dunleavy says he will support a bill in the future that would enshrine permanent fund dividends in the state constitution and wants Alaskans to vote on anything that would change dividends.
If the people of Alaska want to change the PFD program or the permanent fund, they should be part of that change.
Any dividend back payment will have to be approved by the legislature. The total value of the permanent fund has fallen more than $5 billion in the last 6 months to $60.4 billion. When combined with the projected $3,000 PFD for this year, the payments would take nearly a quarter of the fund's earnings reserve. Senate President Anchorage Republican Kathy Geisel says the Senate's top priority is protecting the permanent fund and the dividend.
So we're going to give the governor's bills a fair hearing. I'm interested in the discussion that will go on.
Anchorage Democratic Senator Bill Wilikowski says he'd prefer to pay out the back payments all at once, as future lawmakers could reverse any plan for the payments.
I think it's better to just get it done so that we don't have to worry about whether or not future legislators will pay it back, because in quite frankly, in 2 years, you're going to have an entirely new legislature.
The bills laying out Dunleavy's PFD back payment plan have been referred to the Senate State Affairs and Finance Committees. A Fairbanks man is charged in the death of his mother. 34-year-old George Rosa faces a first-degree murder charge in the death of 70-year-old Molly Rosa. Police report being called to a Bridget Avenue residence by a friend of the victim who said he went to check on her Tuesday and found her dead. Police say they responded and during a sweep of the apartment found George Rosa hiding in a bathroom. They say Rosa admitted to choking his mother to death 5 to 6 days earlier. George Rosa is jailed at Fairbanks Correctional Center. Alaska Native tribes receive health care through the U.S. Interior Department, one of the sectors of the federal government that is shut down. As KUAC's Robin reports, local Native health services continue to be provided even if workers aren't being paid.
The Tenant of Chiefs Conference has the responsibility to provide health services to the 37 federally recognized tribes in Alaska's interior, as well as anyone who qualifies through the Indian Health Service, or IHS. Right now, the doors are staying open at the IHS clinic across the road from Fairbanks Memorial Hospital. Chief Andrew Isaac Health Center is the medical hub for Native health in the interior, and the Tanana Chiefs Conference pays the bills.
We're lucky right now that we have enough funding where we can keep things operational and help our tribes in the interior. But if this goes on as long as some are saying, I don't know what that means.
TCC Chairman Victor Joseph says the organization can withstand a little bit of cash drought, for the present at least. Most of the Federal Department of Health and Human Services is funded during the partial government shutdown, but not so the Interior Department, through which all the money for the Indian Health Service flows. Joseph is frustrated that the huge amount of daily communication between tribes and federal agencies has come to a standstill. He's also concerned about disrupting patients seeking medical care.
Our ability to coordinate care with IHS is problematic, and the ability for the federal government to meet their trust responsibility is also cannot be done if the federal government's closed.
In the meantime, there are 18 federal workers providing health services at TCC who are not getting paid, and they are required to keep working. They are commissioned corps officers who wear military-style uniforms and work for the Public Health Service under the Surgeon General. Joseph says TCC is trying to figure out a way to pay them, even though there's no federal money coming in.
We have some commissioned corps officers that may have not got their checks, and we just made some agreements on how we might be able to help them get their paychecks, and we're still in the process of that.
TCC administration is also contacting tribes around the interior to monitor and assess how the federal government shutdown is affecting them. Right now, most tribes are able to conduct business as usual, but that could change soon. Reporting in Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Arizona Congressman Rahul Jhalva has written a letter to the Interior Department demanding the agency halt work on offshore oil leasing during the partial government shutdown. The Alaska Energy Desk reports that the Tuesday communication was spurred by Interior's decision last week to bring in 40 employees to work on its national offshore leasing plan. That plan, as initially proposed, would open up far more of Alaska's federal waters to oil development. Grijalva now chairs the House Resources Committee and maintains Interior is breaking the law by proceeding with the offshore oil work during the shutdown. The letter states that if Interior does not stop, Democratic lawmakers insist that Acting Interior Secretary David Bernhardt come to Capitol Hill to explain the agency's reasoning. In a statement, an Interior spokesperson said, quote, "We are happy to meet with the committee as appropriate, and we are confident that we are fully meeting our legal obligations," unquote. This is not the first time Grijalva and Interior have locked horns over oil development work continuing despite the shutdown. Last week, the congressman wrote to Interior demanding answers about the agency's move to advance work on oil leasing in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. The agency wrote back claiming that work was also legally funded. There were two moderate earthquakes overnight in the interior. The Alaska Earthquake Center reports a magnitude 3.7 quake 6 miles southeast of Clear at 3:13 this morning, and a 3.3 shaker last night 9 miles northeast of Minto at 8:17 p.m. Center posts say the smaller Minto quake was felt weakly by many in Fairbanks, North Pole, and Nenana, while the Clear event was felt more widely from Anderson and Healy up to Fairbanks and Two Rivers. I'm Dan Bross.